If you will, please go to the book of Job, chapter number 31. Job 31. I want to take a text from verse number 27. Job chapter number 31, verse number 27. The Bible says, "And my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand." And I want to go back to beginning with verse number 24, and I've already gone through the chapter, at least given a brief overview of some things in this chapter. But I want to go back to verse number 24 and begin reading with that. The Bible says, "If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoice because my wealth was great, and because mine eye hath gotten, or mine hand hath gotten much. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge. For I should have denied the God that is above." I want to take as my text these words, "Or my mouth hath kissed my hand." I'll preach for a little while on this subject, when a man kisses his own hand. This is in a section of Scripture in this speech of Job, in which there are the ifs and thens. In other words, if I have done that, Job speaking, if I have done this sin, then let this be my punishment. And we come to this section, and of course, the word if is used more than once in this section of Scripture, and the Bible also gives that punishment, as it might be said, the prescribed punishment in verse number 28. Verse number 28, it ends with these words, "For I should have denied the God that is above." There are different ways that a person may deny the God that is above. Sometimes people may put their trust in different things in life instead of putting their trust in the Lord. I was just dealing with this last week, the worship of wealth, and we might consider, first of all, that men might trust in riches instead of in God. I dealt with a rich young ruler. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 17, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Now, those that were rich were to be charged by Timothy that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now, Job, in his situation, having been a rich man, might have sometimes felt the temptation to trust in uncertain riches instead of trusting in the living God. And then secondly, a person may, instead of trusting in riches in the place of God, he may worship and serve the creature and the creation instead of the Creator, and he may put confidence in himself instead of putting confidence in God. Now, sometimes a person may not have a false god of gold or silver or wood. Instead, the person may be putting confidence in himself. In fact, I think this is a very common problem among men, that men actually are putting confidence in themselves. They trust in themselves. They follow their own leadership. And so, you might say in a sense, they are denying God and trusting themselves in the place of God. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17 and verse number 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." But in verse number 7, the same chapter, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." And so think about that contrast, the contrast between the cursed man that trusts in flesh, that trusts in man, and the blessed man that puts his trust in the Lord. Now, we might consider, what would it mean for a man to kiss his own hand? The Lord told Elijah, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Speaking of kissing Baal. every mouth which hath not kissed him. Hosea chapter number 13 and verse number 2. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. And so we might think about a person kissing a false god. It's interesting that you may hear about this kind of thing in the Catholic organization, the terribly corrupt Catholic organization. And here we might think about a person kissing a false god. In contrast to that, think about a person, as it might be said, kissing the true and living God. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 2 and verse number 12, kiss the Son, lest you be angry, or lest he be angry and perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all that they that put their trust in him. The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Capital S-O-N. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. If you look at the context, I read that portion of Scripture, verses 24 through 28. And the Bible talks about the sun, and the Bible talks about the moon. And in Job's day, there may have been a number of people about him that worshiped the sun and the moon. And some of the people in his day may have been tempted as they were out there in creation, and the sun was shining down in its brightness, or the moon was shining in its brightness, to turn their worship to the creation instead of the Creator. Now, the Bible says, it speaks about the kissing of the hand. In fact, verse number 26, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed. Then it says, or my mouth hath kissed my hand. And so, you may find some that would say that what this refers to is, since this was not a false god, like a god of stone or god of wood or god of gold, it refers to a Job. If Job had kissed his hand, and it might be said in a symbolic way, as though he was kissing the sun, the moon. In fact, some may even refer to the idea of blowing a kiss to the sun or the moon, and worshiping the sun and moon, and then using this as a form of worship, as it might be said, of the sun and moon. I think rather, we might think about a person that is adoring himself. And I believe that is a common problem among men. There's so many times that men adore themselves. Imagine a man that is proud of himself, pleased with himself, praising himself, promoting himself. Since Job was a rich man, Job might have at times been tempted to trust in his riches. Job might have also been tempted to think, I have gotten all these riches by the work of my hands. And he might have been at times tempted to praise himself, to be proud of himself, to be very pleased with himself, to promote himself unto others. In fact, notice, if you will, in that beginning of verse number 24, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoice because my wealth was great, notice the last part of this, and because mine hand hath gotten much. And so the use of the word hand here, just a little bit before, think about a man thinking that his hand had gotten him much, and think about that man kissing his hand. In our day, you may hear people talk about the self-made man. You may hear people talking about lifting themselves up by their own bootstraps. Have you ever tried that? It can be a work of futility and failure. And for a person to try to lift himself up by his own bootstraps, it can't be done. And so we might think about a man that thinks as though, he thinks he has done this, he has gotten this, He has achieved this. And I'm so proud of myself because I've done all this. And kissing His hand, so to speak. Adoring Himself for what He thinks He has done. Years ago, I worked at an outboard motor shop, and there was a lift out there. It was a manual lift. It was a block and tackle type situation. And I don't know why. I was young. I was out there with my boss, and for whatever reason, I had the idea. I put my foot, I guess it was a loop of rope there, I put my foot in it, and I had the idea that I could jump up, and I could pull on the rope, then I could grab the slack, and I'd hold myself there. So I'd be up off the ground, and I thought I'd just keep doing that, I'd keep inching myself up. Well, I tried it, and I put my foot in there, I jumped up, and I pulled the rope. When I did, it hung my foot up in the air, and of course I went to the ground. A person may think, I can do this all by myself. I can lift myself by my own bootstraps. I can make it work on my own. It's only by the grace of God. If a man does well in life, it's by the grace and mercy of God. Even a man that is a wicked man, if a man succeeds in life, it is by the grace of God. The infamous and the terrible poem, Invictus, begins with these words, out of the night that covers me, black as a pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. Later it says, under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. And these are the last words in the poem. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I thank God that I am not the master of my fate. I thank God I am not the captain of my soul. I thank the Lord that I have a Redeemer. I thank the Lord that I have a leader. I have a shepherd to guide me in life. And I am to trust my Lord and Savior. I'm to trust my shepherd. And thank God He can lead me in the right way. Now think about when a man kisses his own hand. When a man kisses his own hand for the salvation of his soul. Romans chapter number 4 and verse 2 does say this, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Of course, perfection is a way of life with God. That's just what He is. He's perfect, always perfect. And so, Abraham, think about if Abraham were justified by his own works, he would have whereof to glory. Before men, not before God, but before men. Now, Abraham was not justified by works. He was saved by grace and through faith and without works, just like all the rest of us sinners that are saved were saved. And so think about if Abraham were justified by his own works, then let credit be given where credit is due. If any man, any mere man, is justified by his own works, then let credit be given where credit is due. But the fact is, there is no sinner. There's absolutely no sinner that has ever lived such a life whereby he was justified by his own works. But you may find that there are multitudes of people that are thinking as though that they are justified by their own works. They are going to heaven because they're such good people, or at least perhaps they're hoping they're going to heaven because they are such good people. And we might think about a person kissing his hand for the salvation of his soul. Romans chapter number 4, verse 4. Now him that worketh, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But now who, for those of us that are saved, who deserves all the credit? Can I say I worked so hard, I did so much, that then I got salvation? All the credit goes to Jesus. Every bit of the credit goes to Jesus. I've got no right to, as it might be said, to kiss my hand and say, you did a good job there, and God will let you into heaven because you did such a good job. Thank the Lord that we won't be in heaven patting ourselves on the backs because we have done such a good job and we were such good people that God let us in. And thank the Lord there won't be a bunch of this kind of hand kissers in heaven praising themselves. Could you imagine a man in heaven praising himself because he did so well? There won't be any of that in heaven. Thank the Lord, we'll all be praising the Lord. We are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not going to be any bragging on man in heaven, but instead we're going to be, as it might be said, bragging on Jesus in heaven. Think about a man kissing his hand for the salvation of his soul. Years ago, and I did not actually see this, but I heard about it. There's a situation along the line. This is at a place I worked. There was one of the higher-ups that had gotten somebody to do some work. I think it may have been the welding up of some brackets that were supposed to have gone for his church. And I put that in quotation marks. It may have been the Catholic organization. But still, as he was supposed to have been having it done for his church. And he put those brackets, whatever it was, in the back of his truck. And then about the time he's going to leave, he was heard saying, "One more step closer to heaven." Thank God that's not going to be the way it is. Thank the Lord that we're not going to be up there bragging on ourselves. But thank the Lord we'll all be in harmony praising Jesus Christ for what He has done for us. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But in our day, and down through the years, I believe there have been many. They've congratulated themselves. They have praised themselves. They've been so proud of themselves over their religious works. Josephus was a historian, a Jewish historian that lived about the time of Jesus Christ. If I remember correctly, he was born in 37 A.D., which was just a few years after Jesus Christ. But he lived about that time. And so, not all of his work should be taken as factual. You may find some of his opinion and some Jewish tradition, but still, you may find some things that are helpful there. He wrote about the three particular philosophies, the philosophy of the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the essence, if I'm not mistaken. He looked into those, and he finally decided to become a Pharisee. And so I think that he could have been a pretty good authority about telling us some things about the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were ones that believed in works for salvation. Let me give you this quotation from Josephus. "They also believe that souls have an immortal vigor in them, and that under the earth there will be rewards or punishments according as they have lived virtuously or viciously in this life, and the latter are to be detained in an everlasting prison, but that the former shall have power to revive and live again, on account of which doctrines they were able greatly to persuade the body of the people. And whatsoever they do about divine worship, prayers, and sacrifices, they perform them according," talking about the people, "they perform them according to their," the Pharisees, "direction. Insomuch that the cities gave great attestations to them on account of their entire virtuous conduct, both in the actions of their lives and their discourses." And so imagine a person that believes that he is going to work his way to heaven. Now, think about a person like that being in the presence of Jesus Christ, the absolutely holy Son of God, hearing the teaching and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, how could those men have been anything but hand kissers? How could those men been anything but adorers of themselves to have been in the presence of Jesus Christ and heard His teaching and His preaching, heard the high standard, the fact, the standard of perfection that Jesus Christ set, and to have not fallen down in sorrow for their sin, convicted over their sins. Well, I believe they had a wall up, as it might be said. And they praised themselves. And they loved themselves. And they were proud of themselves. And I believe that there was conviction, but still, I believe they fought against the conviction, even in the presence of the perfect Son of God, with the powerful preaching and teaching of the Word of God. They fought against it. They were so proud of themselves. I think the Pharisees could be counted as ones that were hand kissers. They'd kiss their own hands. They would think of themselves very highly. Then consider, when a man kisses his own hand, number two, for his own successes in life. King Nebuchadnezzar certainly was a great man. He had a dream about a tree that grew and was cut down. Daniel came along and he gave the interpretation of the dream. And of course, the dream pictured Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had grown to be a man of great power. There were many people that were dependent upon Nebuchadnezzar, but God would cut him down. Daniel gave some advice, some counsel, the Bible uses the word, to King Nebuchadnezzar. And something that might have helped for the judgment to at least have been postponed. And yet, after 12 months, the dream was had, the interpretation was given. After 12 months, he was in the palace in Babylon, and he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Daniel chapter number 4, verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee, and God cut Nebuchadnezzar down." God allowed him to rise. In fact, it was by the grace and mercy of God that he rose. And then finally, God cut him down like a great tree. He cut him down. Nebuchadnezzar went through that stage where he acted like an animal. Finally, he came to his senses. And according to the Scripture, he blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him that liveth forever. And, of course, that is in the record that he did those things and confessed that those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. What did one extremely successful man say after he had suffered a tremendous amount of loss? Job said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, God does bless diligence. I think it's good to teach young people to work hard. I think it's good to have good work ethics. God blesses those things, but ultimately, God gives and God takes away. And somebody might say, "Well, did Job become less diligent?" I have no indication that he became less diligent. In fact, God gave such a good testimony of Job. But I believe it just came to a point. It was time for Job to go through this trial. There were reasons and there were benefits to have been had by you and I and so many others by Job going through this trial. God had given and God took away. A man may kiss his hand and say, "You've worked so hard. You've made yourself a great man. You have risen to great heights. You've been promoted to great heights because of your hard work, because of your intelligence." But still the fact is, it's by the mercy and grace of God that a man has any successes, as it might be called, in life. Now, the Scripture gives us a number of words, a number of verses to help us in this area. Jeremiah chapter number 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his own riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. A man is not to glory in his riches, a man is not to glory in his might, a man is to glory in the Lord. Proverbs 21, verse 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. When we talk about success, in fact, we might even say that there is success, then also there is good success. Consider, go over to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. God gave Joshua instruction for if he wanted good success. And sometimes people have success, but it's not good success because it is outside of the will of God. You might say, I ran that race faster than anyone else. So what if you run in the wrong direction? And a person may say, well, I have done so much. I've had so many successes in life, and I've built this business. I've done this work. And he may go through a whole list of things, commending himself, complimenting himself. So what? If the whole time he's been outside of the will of God. If you want to have good success, here's one thing that you need to realize. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. Well, you might say, I built a business without God. I built business without being, as it might be said, a branch that is drawing from the vine. But as far as good success, as far as something that is going to last in the trial by fire at the judgment seat of Christ, you can do nothing without Christ. Nothing. When we get to heaven, there with all the believers, we're praising God, there's not going to be not one hand kisser in heaven saying, I made it, I worked so hard, I made it. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, among the saints, there's not going to be a single hand kisser there saying, wow, I accomplished this. I suffered this for the Lord. I did this. I was so victorious in my life. There's not going to be a single hand kisser like that in that bunch. We're all going to be humble and praising God for every victory, for everything we did, every good success that we had that goes through the fiery trial of the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be thanking the Lord for it. And then, consider one that kisses his own hand over his own self-righteousness. Jesus told a story about a publican and a Pharisee. A self-righteous publican and a Pharisee. The wording, I think, is interesting. The Pharisee prayed with himself. I believe there's a lot of that goes on. People praying with themselves. And God's not involved. It's them and themselves. Really, they're talking to themselves when they're supposed to be praying unto God. Now, he did refer to God. He said in that prayer, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, even as this publican. Now, he said, thank Thee that I am not as other men are. And he listed covetous, he listed a variety of things, and bad types of people, even as this publican. But then there was an humble publican. That humble publican cried out for the mercy of God, and he was justified. Not the Pharisee, but the publican was justified as he humbly cried out to God for mercy. Now, the Pharisee talked about things that he didn't do. He talked about things that he did, at least he claimed to have done. fasted and gave tithes, but still, think about a man kissing his hand over his own self-righteousness. A man thinking, this is good, I've done good. And complimenting himself, and praising himself, and patting himself on the back, proud of himself because of what he says he has done. The story that Jesus Christ gave was meant to target a particular kind of people. Luke chapter number 18, verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they are righteous, and despised others. The group that he targeted were those that trusted in themselves and despised others. He also targeted ones that exalted themselves. The Pharisees were hand kissers. And they praise themselves. They're so proud of themselves. Not only do the Pharisees, as it might be said, kiss their own hands, and I don't mean physically, but the Pharisees not only kiss their own hands, but they liked other people to kiss their hands. Imagine a person with the attitude, I did so well, I kissed my hand, you kissed my hand, you kissed my hand. I've done so well in life. And wanting to have the compliments of others for how well they think they have done. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 11, woe unto you Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. According to the Scriptures, they love to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. So imagine a man kissing his own hand, expecting other people to kiss his hand as well. A man kissing his own hand over his self-righteousness. Then let me say as well, when a man kisses his own hand, he has a serious sin problem. If you saw a man physically kissing his hand, you may say, this guy's strange. I don't know about this fella. But yet, the Lord knows when we are kissing our own hand. The Lord knows when we're praising ourselves. That's a strange thing. That should not be tolerated. There's something wrong with a man that does this. And yet, how many of us have done it as well? How many of us have kissed our own hand, so to speak? How many of us have wanted somebody else to kiss our hand? And to say, you've done a good job. A man that kisses his own hand has a serious problem. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, the Scripture goes on, and it talks about a variety of things, and then it says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and then having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There are two sentences here. The first sentence is this, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Then, right after that, follows this sentence which begins, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Religious men. And when I say religious, it can cover a variety of kinds. But religious men that love themselves and love pleasure more than God have made this nation a dangerous place. It is a dangerous thing. And it might seem so common for a man to be a lover of himself. It might be so common for a man to be a hand kisser. And it might even seem somewhat comical sometimes when you're around somebody and they're so full of themselves, they keep talking about themselves and they keep praising themselves and so pleased with themselves. Sometimes it may almost seem a little bit comical, but that is a bad sign. And a man that's going in that direction is headed in the wrong direction. Years ago, you may have seen a lot of it, but I think now we're seeing more of the fruit of it. When people love themselves They love themselves. They love pleasure. They don't love God. And so much of what you're seeing in America, the filth, the corruption in America, is because of those kinds of people. In the last days, perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And the sentence goes on. It's a dangerous thing. Children ought to be taught, you don't love yourself, you love God. You surrender yourself to God. Job, having been a rich man, Job, if you were to go through his individual successes, as it might be said, it might have been that a great list could have been put up of things that he had done in life that people would praise him for. And Job may have at times had been tempted. Number one, to trust in his gold. To say to gold, thou art my confidence. Job may have also at times been tempted to praise himself and to put himself in the place of God. Thank the Lord, though he was such a rich man, he was such a good man. And I certainly believe, from the compliment that we have from God, he was a man that loved God. If you will, please stand.